So I've been asked this morning to give my story of stewardship in the hopes that perhaps my story will resonate with a few of you and invoke the spirit of giving within you during your discernment. But I know some of you are very scientific and calculating in nature, so let me just begin by offering two statistics. About 50% and about 95%. Well, now that we've got the data out of the way, let's get on with the story. So I'm struck by the readings this morning because they touch on stories that I've heard over and over again. And yet every time I listen to the stories, I pick up something new out of them. Catherine Schultz, who's one of my favorite authors and speakers, says that any great human story, there seems to be a common underlying theme. That theme is, I thought this was going to happen, and something else happened instead. Noah thought that he would celebrate his 601st birthday quietly with his family, and something else happened instead. And John thought that he would baptize Jesus in the River Jordan, and that Jesus would immediately bring peace, comfort, and prosperity to the people, and something else happened instead. And several years ago, I thought that I would make a very large pledge to St. Paul's and walk proudly through those church doors, knowing that I helped finance this great building in which we're worshiping. And something else happened instead. Those of you that have been here a while might recall that we had several capital campaigns to help finance this building, both for ourselves and for those who were not yet here. And around the time of those campaigns, Deb, Kelly, and Sarah and I were becoming more and more comfortable being seen in the church. We had actually moved from the farthest back pew to somewhere in the middle. And I was proud when I was asked at that time to give my story of stewardship. But since I didn't really have a great story, I mean, I had a good story. We were pledging and at a very comfortable level. I mean, we were giving our fair share. But since I didn't have a great story, I decided to begin a new story. We decided to pledge a sum of money that was far outside of our budget. At the time, Deb was changing jobs, my company was failing, and we honestly had no idea from where the money was going to come. But we decided to go out on a limb and dig a hole. I'm sorry, Greer, it's kind of a mixed metaphor. We decided to go out on a limb, dig a hole, and put God to the test. And I thought, if this is your will, God, you will provide. And something else happened instead. You see, a big part of my story of stewardship is a story of failure. Probably isn't what the committee had in mind when they asked me to speak this morning. But we had 3 full years to fulfill our pledge, and we did not do it. We paid some the first year, but we were unable to pay anything the following 2 years. Personally, I was ashamed. Had God provided the money and I was just too self-centered to see it and use it properly? Was I a fool to think that just by proclaiming that I was going to win the lottery from God and give it all to St. Paul's that it would actually happen? And worst of all, what would George, Sally, the vestry, and everyone I had become close to at St. Paul's, what would they think about us? So after this failure, I did some real soul searching. I talked about the situation with those whom I trusted and loved in the church. I discussed it with people I had come to know and admire through teaching Sunday school, children's chapel, youth group via media and EFM. And I thought and prayed about it while listening to homilies from George, Sally, Tony, and Candy that all seemed to focus on love, grace, humility, and kindness. I admit that I thought I was going to have to beg forgiveness, repent, and reprove to everyone that I was worthy of their respect. But something else happened instead. First, the universal message I heard, was, it's okay. No one is here to judge you. We're sure you had good intentions and that you tried your very best. I can't tell you how much that message brought me closer to God. Second, I became very aware that what was more important wasn't what I thought had happened to me, but how I would use the memory of those events to shape my future. And third, I came to recognize that both the pledge itself and my failure to fulfill it, both of these were gifts from God. You see, in coming out of all that self-imposed shame and humiliation, I was able to truly recognize what a treasure this community is and what an opportunity I have, that we all have, to make this church into something really great. I realized that the pledge I had made wasn't based upon how good I felt St. Paul's was at the time. I made that pledge based upon my vision of how great St. Paul's could be and how committed I was to contributing to that greatness. As much as I wanted to dwell upon how wrong my original expectations had been, it was the wrongness itself, God's plot twist, that was one of the best possible outcomes that could have occurred. I didn't just help grow this church, but this church gave me an opportunity to grow myself. Something else had happened instead. So let's fast forward to today. We finally did fulfill the financial obligation that we had made. Not on time, but we did fulfill it. And Deb and I continue to look for ways we can become active participants in this faith community and not just attendants. We continue to pledge to the operating budget, just a little bit above where we're comfortable. And 5 years ago, I couldn't spell vestry. Now I are one. As a vestry member, my strongest desire is that each and every one of us seeks out and finds our own opportunities, not just to be a member of St. Paul's, but to actively shape St. Paul's. I'm convinced that if you will help us start living into your vision of St. Paul's, that the gifts that each of you bring, not just time, talent, and treasure, but vision, enthusiasm, humility, grace, and forgiveness, that these gifts will make St. Paul's an integral part of the kingdom of God here on earth. Now, I've coached a number of my daughter's softball teams over the years, and I have a philosophy that I try to share with all my players. You may never turn a double play, and you may never hit a home run, but that doesn't mean that you shouldn't try. Nobody remembers the easy put out at first. Nobody remembers the walk that was as good as a hit. But you'll never forget if you turn that double play. And you'll never forget your first home run. Reggie Jackson, a Yankee. Sorry. Reggie Jackson, one of baseball's most electrifying players, hit 563 home runs in his career, including three in a single game of the World Series. 563. That's huge. But what a lot of people don't remember is that Reggie Jackson struck out 2,597 times. That's 2,000 times more than he hit a home run. Well, since we're back to statistics, I'm actually going to return to those numbers I threw out in the beginning. About 50% and about 95%. About 50% of the families at St. Paul's pledge money to the operating fund. Now, I know that there are a lot of families that come each week and give offerings into the plate, but about 50% of us commit to trying to reach some sort of a target for ourselves. And of the money that is pledged, St. Paul's actually receives about 95% of it. Now, I'm told it would really be about 100%, but you always have somebody moving away, and you have some families that get hit with hardships, and that's to be expected. So these numbers seem really, really good to me. But I have to wonder, what if something else happened instead? What if those numbers were reversed? What if 95% of us pledged St. Paul's, but only 50% of us fulfilled that pledge? I said that the way I wanted to. What if 95% of us actually pledged to St. Paul's, but only 50% of us fulfilled that pledge? What would that indicate? Personally, I think it would indicate that we all envision great things for ourselves and this community. We're willing to try to turn that double play. We're willing to swing for the fences. Now, you may not be willing to climb out as far as I did on a limb or dig as deep a hole as I decided to try to do. But are you willing to commit to making a significant attempt at greatness? Are you open to participating in your own story that includes, and something else happened instead? Catherine Schultz has said, "The miracle of your mind is not that you can see the world as it is. It's that you can see the world as it is not. You can remember the past and you can imagine the future. For good and for ill, we generate these incredible stories about the world around us. And then the world turns around and astonishes us. I deeply hope someday to hear and to learn and to be astonished by your story, by our story, as we journey here together. Amen."